morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Monday live from Murph's at Cobb Galleria. Feels like we were just here, Randy.
Because we are just here, Andy.
Oh, that wasn't a dream. Thought I was having a dream yesterday afternoon. That was really fun. We were out here from 1 to 4 yesterday, hanging, getting ready for All-Star Weekend. Mickey Tettleton stopped by, former All-Star. That was a fun conversation.
Yeah.
And now we're in the swing of it. The pre-All-Star game portion of the season is over.
Yep.
I guess Ronald Acuna in the three-hole wasn't the cure-all like I was trying to make it yesterday. Anyway, good morning to you, Randy. How are
you? What's happening, man? Yeah, dog, over here. Appreciate all the people at Mercer for having us again. We'll also be out here tomorrow. Dukes and Bell are coming up after us here, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
Okay, so, yeah, so everybody be out tonight. Obviously, the other Stakey and them and the morning shift, they were down at SEC Media Day, so that's also going on. Yeah, but, I mean – you know, we talked a lot about it yesterday as far as hopefully you're tinkering, trying anything with the lineup. The two rain delays didn't help.
No. No, they didn't.
I was like, damn, this game's still on?
To be honest, it didn't help my my viewing either.
Yeah.
Like, we watched it while we were here, and then it was raining when we left. I clicked it on for a minute when I got home, and then they paused it again, and I was like, all right. I'll watch the recap tomorrow morning, which I did.
Yeah, man. But, yeah, but obviously they won the series talking about the Braves, but they did not get the sweep and everything. And like you said, we are at the All-Star break right now. You are who you are, in my opinion, at this time.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
come
but
on.
I mean,
95 games.
Yeah,
we know the deal.
You are who you are at this point. But, yeah, it should be a lot of fun. A lot of former players are in the house. Hopefully we get to talk to a couple of them. Then obviously all the best – the All-Stars are coming in town. Some probably already here. And, you know, just enjoy the festivities. We start off the night with the home run derby. Back gone. I don't know if he's doing it.
I wish he was. I don't think he does it anymore, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
I liked Chris Berman and all of his shtick. I'm a Berman fan.
Ain't no wrong with that, man.
Yeah.
I mean, but then also, you know, kind of the disappointment of not having Ronald Acuna in it. I mean, Matt Olson's taking his place, but yeah, disappointing that he won't be able to participate. He will play tomorrow night, I'm assuming, but as far as just the home run dirt, he won't be there tonight.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I get it. You know, you want to be careful and all that, but like he hit three home runs since he came back from the back tightness in a major league game.
Maybe it's just the constant swinging.
Maybe. There's always that concern that people have had of like the home run derby can mess up your swing
if you're not
a natural. I don't know. He swings pretty smooth. Like, whatever. I mean, it is what it is. We can nitpick it if we want. I really would have liked to have seen him do it because I like watching Ronald Acuna do everything on a baseball field. So that's a bummer. Like, he's the, you know, he's one of the biggest stars in the game, and it's his home park, and, you know, it would be cool to kind of make some of the weekend about celebrating his greatness.
Right.
Of course, he'll still be in the lineup to start the game.
Will they introduce him tonight?
Maybe, I don't
being
know.
Participant, but unable to participate due to injury or something like that. They can't do that.
No, I don't
they
do that.
They can't do that, especially if he plays tomorrow.
Don't do that. Let Matt Olson take over, and hopefully he wins it. Like,
that'd be great.
He can go, you know, he could get hot as anybody as far as hitting the baseball. So,
because we talked about it last week, you know, when he was selected to the team about, you know, his experience when he was back when the All-Star game was over at Turner Field.
He was at the home run derby when he was six.
So, I mean, that would be a cool thing if that can, you know, that full circle type thing comes about. But I'm excited to see Matt. He's a Brave. He's going to be in it, and hopefully he gets the groove. And there should be a lot of baseballs in the chop house. He's pulling it.
He feels to me like a guy who, I mean, certainly could win it, but
distance. Yes.
Yeah, like he might hit the longest one.
Yes.
In the game or in the derby, because every once in a while when he really kind of gets the pitch he's looking for and extends his arms and just unloads on it.
Yes.
I mean, hits it over the chop house.
It's like a damn rocket.
I think the way that it's configured, right? Like the places that we like to hang out, that like green space with the screen and all that, and the bar by the Blue Moon bar.
Okay.
I mean, if he gets a hold of one, you could get one out there.
Yeah.
If it bounces right off the top of something or something like that.
He smacks the hell out of the ball.
He could hit one out of the park, possibly.
He smacks the hell out of the ball.
I think.
Yeah, man. But, it should be an interesting, fun night, like you said. It would be a lot easier if the Braves were a little bit better than they are currently, if you look at the record. But, yet, you know, that the baseball draft was last night or yesterday and everything like that. The Braves picked a certain position over and over and over.
They did, They took a lot of shortstops.
Yeah.
Took a shortstop in the first three picks that they made. So, I don't know if, you know. That's Nick Allen takes that personally.
It gets motivated?
Yeah, maybe it motivates him in the second half of the season. Yeah. Like, these guys are trying to replace me.
Yeah.
Or it's like, remember it was our conversation last offseason with the Falcons. It was like, never again. We will never again find ourselves.
I thought about that too.
We will never again go into a season lying to ourselves about Desmond Ridder being the starting quarterback.
Yes.
We're going to sign a quarterback and draft a quarterback in the first round. Never again. The Braves are like, we're getting shortstops, man. We got to get these guys in here.
Now,
it's ridiculous.
Now hopefully, they. You know,
problem is with that, you're not going to see those guys
see
for
a while.
4 years.
You know, you're not going to see them for a long while. But I mean, yeah, always interesting when you. You see the kids get drafted and all those different things. I saw a high school player was the number one pick.
Yeah, 17-year-old kid.
17-year-old kid. Yeah. That reclassified.
Like the Cooper flag of baseball.
Yeah, and then saw that Holiday, another son drafted in the top five, which is awesome.
You got good DNA in
that
family.
You know what I mean? That's just awesome, dude. And so that's a great accomplishment for him and his wife. But, yeah, it's like, okay, that's the only thing about the MLB draft. I'm like, all right, whatever. It's because it takes them forever to get here.
Yeah.
You know,
some of the guys have been a little faster.
A little bit.
Right?
Especially the pitchers.
Especially the pitchers.
Yes.
Paul Skeens seemed like he got drafted 15 minutes ago.
Yes.
And he's setting all kinds of records for first year and a half in the bigs. His team doesn't help him out very much. The Pirates lose all the games that he pitches.
Have they lost more one-run games than Joe? No, I'm about to say no. I don't know what they're ranking.
I don't think anybody's lost more one-run games than the Braves.
Yeah, and I was like, I was curious, like, what is their record when he pitches?
Bad.
Yeah.
Better than normal,
right,
by percentage-wise, but they still lose a lot of the games that he pitches because they don't score any runs, which is, you know,
same
a situation that we're familiar with.
Yeah.
They did lose another one-run game yesterday. And they won 2 one-run games to start the series against the Cardinals.
They did.
But that just means they played 3 more one-run games. They played like 50 one-run games in their first 95 games, which is just – I don't know. I mean, you could spin it as positive, like they're right there, they're really close, or you could be honest about it and be like, yeah, they play a lot of close games and they can't win because they don't score very many runs and their bullpen's not good. Jesse Chavez got a chance to come in and remind us that he was on the team yesterday.
Oh, boy.
Which is nice.
That was that.
4 earned runs in 2 innings for old Jesse.
That was fun, man.
Was it?
That was fun. No. Not yesterday. I'm talking about, you know, the – all right, Jesse's coming up. Oh, Jesse gets released from after spring training. Oh, he's coming home and all that. That was fun. Mm-hmm. I'm way over it now.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
one of those things.
It ain't even cute or key, key, key.
It's one of those things that's like a fun story to goof about.
Yes.
When you're 17 games over 500 and it's like, dang, this guy's 40 and he comes in for long relief still. He's on the team for the 13th time. But when he's like one of your viable options out of the bullpen because everything's a disaster.
Yes.
That's not good. It's not funny.
Paul Skeens is 4-8 with a 2.01 ERA.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's good. But, I mean, you take the bad with the good. Michael Harris had a couple hits yesterday, which was great. We talked already about Ronald Acuña, no hits in the 3-hole after a big night the day before. Jackson Profar was pretty good yesterday leading off. And, you know, we are where we are.
Yeah, they're bad.
I'm curious.
They get a couple of days.
I'm
off.
Curious how it's we nice. Look, how we view it as far as if after the break is if Ronnie's going to stay in 3.
I don't know.
I think that's the most interesting thing right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it really kind of is.
You know, get to the back
that,
half of
the
season.
And then if they make any moves before the deadline, selling, whatever, probably not buying, selling. Ozuna did pinch hit yesterday.
Yes, he did.
So our theory about them saving him, they get him traded somewhere, maybe. Maybe not true. Maybe they're just trying to get him some rest because he's got a hip injury that we've known about for 2 months.
Then you give him a whole week off or so like that. I guess, man. I honestly don't know how the rest of this season is going to go as far as moves and things that the Braves intend to do. Hopefully this is one of those situations where we know this would be, what, day 3 of the 10-day IL for Riley?
Yeah, Saturday. So by the time they come back, I mean, I don't know if he'd be ready Friday. But hopefully that weekend, if he's able to do it, you know, with the ab injury that he picked up, I think that's what it was, right? Lower abdomen injury that he picked up, put him on the 10-day. Look, I mean, it's we know what the end of the year is going to be. It's going to be more of the same.
Yeah.
They might make a trade or two at the deadline, and then they're going to slog their way to the finish.
Yeah.
Hopefully there's some fun moments throughout. But you got the All-Star game over the next couple of days, which is awesome. We're here at Murph's hanging out and celebrating that, like you mentioned. The other half of the radio station is down at the College Football Hall of Fame for SEC Media Days. Today is day 1, which means that Greg Sankey met with the media earlier. We can react to some of what he had to say, as he always has sort of his state of the conference address at the beginning of the year. He talked about a lot of the stuff you kind of expected him to talk about with college football playoff expansion,
right.
SEC maybe going from 8 conference games to 9 conference games. He also did what these commissioners do also, where they sort of, you know, have a war of words with one another during their press conferences.
Yes.
Like Brett Yormark, the Big 12 commissioner, said some stuff last week that clearly Sankey didn't like.
Yes.
So he clapped back at him a little bit today in his opening remarks, reminding him that not only are we your kind of dad,
yes,
it's literally written into the MOI that we have final say on what happens with some of this playoff stuff. So
shut up.
Yeah.
So shut your ass up.
Pipe down.
Who do you think was that fight? Sankey, a big dude. Sankey,
like a physical fight?
Yeah.
I don't even know what Brett Yormark looks like.
Yeah, I think it's Brett Yormark.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Greg Sankey.
I know Greg Sankey's the commissioner of the SEC and all that, but
yeah.
I don't think he's like I don't think that makes him like an SEC linebacker. Like,
you know what I mean?
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, like he got soft, brutal fists or something.
I don't
like
know.
That.
I don't know. It's probably good that but these guys don't fight each other.
That's what it is right there.
They'll just do it with words.
It's because you're still tugging for the war. When we talk about the Big Ten, the SEC, as far as the two powerhouses, we understand that. But yet they're still trying to get everything for their own conference.
Yep.
They're trying to figure but yet I know there's going to be 16 teams. We think because we're the SEC, we deserve 11. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's where he is right now. He's doing what he has to do for his conference. And that's your job title, I'm guessing. But, yeah, I saw Brian Kelly's there today, Shane Beamer.
Yep.
And –
Lane Kiffin and then Vanderbilt, Clark Lee.
Okay. And so, yeah, you got those guys. Then, obviously, Georgia's day is tomorrow. Then the Bama's usually after the day after Georgia.
Alabama's Wednesday. Yeah. I'll just tell you who's which day.
Okay.
Today's good, too, because obviously you've got some big-name coaches like Brian Kelly, Lane Kiffin. Shane Beamer's there with Lenora Sellers, who might be the most fun player in the whole conference.
Could be.
Garrett Nussmeier's there, obviously, with LSU, and he's the Heisman front runner.
Mm-hmm. He's the front runner?
Yeah, as far as the odds go today.
Wow.
And then tomorrow, obviously, like you said, you got Kirby and all the Georgia players, as well as Sark and Arch Manning. Wednesday, Alabama, as well as Mississippi State, Florida, and Oklahoma. And the interesting thing with Florida, beyond Napier, is DJ Lagway is there too.
Yeah.
So he'll talk about how he's doing physically and the injury and all that stuff that he was dealing with. And then you close it out on Thursday with Missouri, Kentucky, Arkansas, and Texas A&M.
What a day that is.
So I was trying to make an argument that every day kind of had its own – you know, its own fireworks.
Yeah.
Missouri's been pretty good the last couple
years. We'll be there.
And we'll be there.
And we'll be there,
so
baby.
You know what? That's the argument. They're saving the best for us. It'd be pretty cool to talk to Sam Pittman, I guess.
I'll probably be the last opportunity to talk to him
at an SEC media days.
Yeah, they're in trouble, boy. I tell you, when you look at, I mean, the ultimate high having to bring back, oh, boy, to be offensive coordinator. You know, they were like, oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, is he there? Do you think he comes?
No. Usually coordinators don't come. Usually it's just head coaches and everything.
Yeah, but he's not your traditional coordinator.
No, he's not. Yeah, watch your jobs.
No. Bobby Petrino
could have
in the city of Atlanta? Doesn't seem like a good idea.
Oh, I forgot about that. Oh, hell no, he ain't here. They know where in the hell he got to come through this thing.
That's
with,
way
like,
too close to where he did all that.
Security guards. I'm talking about armored limos,
right.
whatever.
Yeah, there's some people that work at the College Football Hall of Fame that are Falcons fans that are not fond of Bobby Petrino.
Yes. Oh, man.
That would maybe look the other way if a fan rushed him or something like that. No, I'm not calling out anybody's professionalism. Of course, you do your job as a security guard, but, you know, you can't catch everybody.
No. Oh man, but that'd be pretty damn funny though. Because you know where the stairs are right there.
Somebody just dropped
off the top right where the damn helmets are. It just dropped the damn people's elbow in his ass.
Yeah, just a big like 30-foot drop onto Bobby Petrino. Yeah, he's probably safe to keep him.
Yeah,
in Arkansas. Like,
leave him in Little Rock.
Yeah, keep him in Arkansas.
Or Fayetteville. Fayetteville. Yeah, Fayetteville.
Yeah, maybe he stays in Little Rock during the off season. I don't know. Who knows? He probably has a house there. All right, we'll come back. We'll get
on a motorcycle since then.
Has he been on a motorcycle since then? Probably.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, you know, you get back on get back on the horse or the motorcycle. We'll come back and tell you what's trending here on a Monday morning as we broadcast live from Murph's at Cobb Galleria. The All-Star festivities underway. Home Run Derby tonight. All-Star game tomorrow. There's been a lot of stuff going on over the last couple of days as well down here. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Third shower of the day coming through. 3-2 and a liner into left center field. Harris scores. Here comes Profar. And Matt Olson, through the raindrops, gives the Braves a 3-1 lead here in the fifth.
And how about the reaction from Matt Olson? That had to feel good for him. Another long at-bat. 10 pitches there.
Yep. Yeah, man.
Some good at-bats from him. Yes. Sean Murphy over the weekend hit a home run at the tail end of a really long at-bat, I think, on Friday night. And, yeah, he went the other way. Kind of in the Tony Gwynn.
The emotion that he showed. Because, you know, Matt's a real – he was like –
he was fired up.
He really, really was, man. Yeah. But I like – oh, here come the big fat drops.
Yeah, it was nasty yesterday in St. Louis.
They got it. I mean, I know they eventually lost the game. But, I mean, he did get that hit. And then they went ahead and pulled the tarp out after that play right there. But, yeah, Matt, I mean, you get to see him tonight. Like Caleb was just saying, I mean, we talked about it earlier. You know, 25 years now? Since
25 years.
25 years since he died, huh?
25 years since yeah, since he was in, was it Turner Field?
Yeah, man.
Watching the home run derby.
You know, he's gonna be there, man. And, you know, it's always fun.
As every kid in the building thought they would be, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, every kid watching is like, this will be me someday.
Right.
But
right.
It actually is.
Yes.
It's crazy.
It's so cool. It is him. And it's not just that. I mean, they do it here. He's from Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know,
no,
he's
up
from up there where I'm from. I'm up there where I live at. But, yeah, that's got to be just an outstanding, cool moment. Did they decide who's going to pitch him?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't know who's going to be pitching to him. Maybe bring Jesse Chavez out there.
Why not? Jesse's good at giving up home runs.
Yeah, he can serve it up. No question about that.
Yeah, just let Jesse go out there.
That is always a fun part of the home run derby, too, because you can pick whoever you want.
Right.
And we talked about this yesterday.
Who picked their dad? Somebody had their dad a couple years ago?
Guys have done that. Yeah. And I remember Josh Hamilton had, like, his little league coach that kind of helped him through some of his drug struggles and stuff, his addiction struggles. And, yeah, sometimes guys will have their dads or a teammate or brother or something like that. Like, that'd be pretty cool. That'd be kind of – I'd be almost more nervous to be the pitcher than the hitter.
Right.
Because you got to throw in the right spot. You know?
Oh, yeah, no doubt about
it. You spike a couple, and then it's like, oh, God.
The clock
everybody
is
starts
running.
Booing
the
you.
The clock is running.
Right, because in the past, that you could, as many pitches they could take them, it wasn't a big deal. Now you got to hit as many as you can in X amount of time. So, Matt Olson's one of the eight tonight. He'll be going up against Cal Raleigh, who's got 38 home runs already this year, which is insane. I mean, just flat out insane. And he grew up as a Braves fan too, because not too far up the road in Western North Carolina. James Wood, that young slugger from Washington, who I really like.
Yes.
Just call him, see what they want. Junior Caminero from the Rays. Byron Buxton, who's also a Georgia kid, is going to be in it. Brent Rooker from the Athletics. Jazz Chisholm.
Jazz is in it? I didn't know Jazz was in it.
And then O'Neal Cruz from the Pirates will be in it as well. So those
O'Neal Cruz and Jazz? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nice, exciting feel of young players in this home run derby. It's always fun to see the kids out in the outfield catching the ones that don't go over. I saw it with the clip. I knew it was yesterday. That little baby got nailed right in the face.
Yeah.
I mean, had the glove right there. Ball's
coming in hot.
I don't know if it went through the neck or whatever.
These are major league hitters.
What?
The ball's coming in hot.
He ain't gonna never play outfield.
I did always wonder, like,
he ain't gonna never play outfield,
you know, I'm glad they get to do it, and hopefully everybody stays safe. I was always wondering if that was going to happen. It's like, dude, one of these kids is going to take a line drive off
I'm
the face.
About just bow. It's like, you know, I don't like laughing at when children get hurt.
Children,
but that wank was funny. It was pretty damn funny.
He's okay.
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah, he's
fine.
He's
but he did. He misjudged it. He lost it. He lost it in the lights.
Oh, man. That's another one of those ones. It's like, if you get to go to the game and watch the home run derby, that's cool.
Yeah.
How cool would it be to be one of those kids out there?
Dude,
how do you get to be one of those kids?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
who are these kids?
Is that like an essay thing? You have a good essay on why you wanted to why you love baseball or something like that.
That'd be cool if that's what it was.
Yeah, man.
Honestly,
like
don't
that,
know.
Yeah, I don't know, but he took one to the face.
He did. He got hit in the face. Yeah. Braves lost yesterday. Another one-run loss. They go to the All-Star break, 11 games under 500, which nobody thought in a million years would be the case. But
who you like tonight?
It is as far as to win.
Who got the bat? Who got? Who has the? You got the odds up there for?
I don't have the odds.
Oh, okay.
I like, I mean, Cal Raleigh, how could he not be the favorite?
Right.
Do you think he goes, because he's a switch hitter. I wonder if he goes, he probably goes lefty just because this is a shorter porch in right field.
That's a great point.
Or maybe he goes both. Who knows? Maybe he switches it up.
That would be cool.
I like James Wood, just a young, like, slugger. And then I like Matt Olson, too.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the hometown.
And just pick all three of them.
Yeah, I'm going to go hometown.
I don't think Jazz Chisholm will win. That's what I'm picking to not win. Jazz Chisholm's going to lose in the first round.
Okay.
I remember in 01 when the All-Star game was in Seattle, and they always try to get a local guy in the game, right, or in the Derby, and Brett Boone was in it. He hit one home run. It was so disappointing. Brett Boone.
Especially after probably all the hype and everything.
Yeah, he's done a million home runs that year. He was he had a couple really powerful seasons.
But you got to get that groove. You got the biggest thing I always watch when I'm watching the home run, the early groove is the best.
Yeah,
you got to get in that early groove, man. Because once you start struggling, it's you get on the street, you start rushing, yeah, and everything.
I love the home run derby. I know it was better. I thought it was better the old format, but it's still gonna be fun tonight. All right, let's hear Jannik Sinner win Wimbledon.
A second championship point for Jannik Sinner from the far end. Takes aim and fires down the middle. He's done it!
He's done it!
Jannik Sinner,
he's done it,
is the winner of Wimbledon, the first Italian ever to win a Wimbledon singles title. He can't believe it.
First Italian.
Congratulations to Italy and Jannik Sinner for winning Wimbledon. Kind of found himself in the same situation he was in against Alcaraz at the French.
Yeah.
We had a chance to close him out, and he actually did it this time. So,
what a match that was.
That was insane.
Remember that match?
It was five and a half hour long.
Yeah, what a match that was. I'm glad it didn't go to that one. But, we were talking last week about, you know, the era of where tennis is going. And you got two young guys like that. I don't think it'd ever be like the era we just saw of men's tennis.
Oh, yeah. Hard to say.
It's hard to say to be like that. But for him to go out and get his first victory, they never knew that he was the first Italian to win Wimbledon and things like that. But, yeah, that young boy from Spain, he ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, he's good, too.
He ain't going
They're
going
to be around for
he
a while. Did you see the women's final?
No, I did not.
6-0, 6-0.
Oh, she swept like that?
What a shame.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, our American lady made it to the final, and then she got absolutely mud-stomped. 6-0, 6-0.
Yeah, that
You
mean,
and me could have done that.
Exactly. And took home that $2 million.
I guess we're not women, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what
you mean. Like, Ashley could have done that.
Yeah, took home that $2 million that she got for losing like that.
Is that what you get for losing?
I don't know. I know that's what the men's look. Yeah, 4-2-1. 600.
Dang. Now, I guess she had to win a bunch of matches to get there, so I'm not trying to say she didn't deserve to be there or anything, but, sucks to lose like that in the final. The Dream fell to the Fever on Friday.
Did you see last
99
night's game?
99-82, which –
like, they were up by, like, 20 points on New York?
Oh, yeah, the Dream, yeah.
Oh,
they lost to the Liberty as well on Sunday,
man.
So a tough weekend.
Yeah, man, they were about 20 points. I think they were saying no NBA, WNBA team this year has come back from a deficit like that.
Dang,
they came back.
That's not what you want.
And they just ramrodded the Dream last night.
And I saw the Fever scored, like, the most points ever in a second half.
Uh-huh.
Just destroyed who they were playing. Like, Caitlin Clark and them went off.
They beat up on Paige Buckets.
That's right. Yeah. It was Beckers. Sorry, they were going after Beckers. Fun action over the weekend. Summer League as well. The Hawks undefeated in Summer League.
Way to go, baby.
105-98, 29 from Kobe Bufkin the other night, and then they beat the Suns 98-80 on Sunday. 18 points and 11 rebounds for the rookie Ace
Anunoby. Love to see him out there balling. Love it, man. And I saw Trey's out there now.
Good.
And out there supporting his teammates, which is always good and everything. I had a funny quote about the security being a little lax. You know, you're sitting there and you know, people running up on you. I'm like, well, y'all ain't LeBron. LeBron, he has security. Y'all just chilling. Y'all just there or whatever. But it's always fun when you see the players they talked about yesterday signing autographs for the kids because it is a little bit more relaxed. You can walk up to your favorite athlete, get pictures and things like that. But, yeah, for Trey to be out there, being a leader of this team and all the other guys still out there.
Who else was out there? Did you see?
I saw that Jim was there.
Okay, good.
Okongwu was there.
Okay.
And then a couple of the new guys I recognized.
Great.
And then I saw that the new Alexander, he was there.
Oh, great.
And so he was sitting with them.
A little team bonding.
Yeah,
you know? Get out to the desert and hang out.
Yeah, man, out there in Vegas.
My brother was in Vegas over the weekend. It was 111 degrees on Saturday.
It felt like it was yesterday here.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said, actually, 111 in Vegas is better than 97 in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Because in Atlanta, it's like a wet rag is on you.
Yeah, pretty
out
much.
There, it's just dry.
Yeah, it's just dry heat. Yeah. But hopefully.
I say both are tough.
I mean, Vegas. Yeah. July it ain't no cakewalk.
Both are a struggle.
Yeah, it ain't no damn cakewalk.
You'll be close to some water.
Yeah, the only thing about Vegas in the heat is like when you think you can that damn hotel is right there.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
Oh, there it is right there.
The Vegas perception. It's right there.
Oh, it's right there, man. We'll just
walk on down there.
Yeah, we just walk
35 minutes later, it's just
as far
away.
Sitting there.
It's like, what the hell? How did they make it look so close?
Yeah, man. That's, hey, that thing, I'm like, oh, it's right there. We can just hump this thing, man.
Yeah, we're good. We don't need to spend money on Uber. We just lost all that money at the casino. Let's walk.
20 minutes later, you don't walk three blocks.
Yeah.
And it's another longest six. Blocks. It's another six to go.
Yeah.
And you're there drenched in damn
sweat.
All
right, somebody get an Uber. This sucks.
Yeah, man. But there was one more on what's trending. Georgia got another tight end. Go dog.
Hey, that's cool.
Yeah, so, you know, whenever you see
Caden Prothrow. Five star.
And a four star, Tyreek Green.
Okay.
Damn.
23 commits, four star or higher in that class. So that's coming together pretty
that's
good.
That's 26, right?
Two. Yeah. Ew. Yeah, the 26 class is really good so far.
Ew.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know.
He's grinding.
Yeah.
He's grinding.
That's what he does,
but
man.
But, I mean, I know we're going to talk college football because remember I mentioned it in the last – it was the last week when it was Big 12 and some of the quotes coming out about recruiting being dead and everything.
I bet Kirby's
don't
not going to
Kirby
say
that.
Yeah. I bet Kirby's not going to say recruiting's dead.
Don't tell Kirby that.
Yeah. We'll probably talk to Kirby tomorrow.
Yeah.
As Georgia will be at SEC Media Days tomorrow. Day one of SEC Media Days going on now. Greg Sankey met with the media this morning. We'll come back, react to some of the quotes that we've seen from SEC Media Days, talk about some of the other stories in college football as well. Hour number one of the show brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. We will be right back from Murph's at Cobb Galleria on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports
it's
Radio.
Birthday. Is that this right here? My birthday.
I don't think so.
Oh, the volume's low.
That's all right.
Oh, I thought it was Thug.
Or is it?
It is Thug, right?
Maybe it is.
Is Thug?
Oh, okay. There you go. Happy birthday to all those born on July 14th.
Yeah, man. It's a special day.
It is.
Yeah.
Virgos.
No, it's not.
I don't know.
Yeah. I'm like, hold on.
No, I don't know what it is.
No, it's still cancer. You know, it's still cancer month. It's our birthday month, dog.
Proud to not know.
Whatever. I'm the same way. But I'll tell you this, man. And we're here. It's a lot of fans that are not from Georgia. Just met a gentleman here from Minnesota, right?
Hey, he's got his Twins hat on.
Got his Twins hat on.
Shirt.
In Minnesota, right?
Yeah.
So he comes over to me, and he says, "You're a Packer fan?" And I was like,
"Oh, I see."
And Andy, I was about to, you know, it took everything. I was and I went specific down there. I said, "Where are you at?" He said, "I'm in Atlanta." I said, "What state are you in?"
Yeah.
Georgia.
Yeah.
I said, "Do you think I would wear a damn Packers hat in Georgia?" This says Georgia Bulldog.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's also not green and gold.
And it's not green and gold.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And again, we are in Georgia. But you know what? He's probably a Vikings fan,
he is,
right?
He is a Vikings fan.
He sees that circle G and hate fills his body.
Because it did, because they always beat us. So yeah, he come over as a Georgia like a Green Bay. Come on, man.
That's cool. That's cool to come down and be able to do an event like this from out of town
right.
And say, yeah, hey, the All Star Games and then we talk about like Abe and his dad do baseball trips every summer.
Yeah.
Really cool father-son thing to do. I bet there's a lot of father-son family trips, whatever, going on this week for this event, too. That's a cool thing to do.
Yeah, man. Like, I would think it would be something that, you know, like you were saying, like I think it's cool because our old guy BG used to do it with his pops and everybody used to go to all the different stadiums, baseball stadiums. I think that would be cool as hell to do.
Yeah, I hope my kids like baseball, and then we can do that. That'd be fun. I think they probably will.
I think they probably will.
Yeah, it would be a real bummer if they don't. Me and Ashley really like baseball.
I really love baseball.
They're going to be like,
and like Jack wants to play lacrosse.
We're good. That'd be fine.
Yeah, Jack wants to play lacrosse.
Fine if he wants to play lacrosse.
I don't know about my gal, though. My gal, she just seems like she just because – The soccer thing, we're going to give it one more try?
We'll try it again.
Try it one more time.
Yeah, we'll try it again. She does the same thing every summer where, like, she gets excited for it.
Right.
And then the first game, she's gung-ho. She's all over the field. She's kicking the ball. She's in it. By, like, the third game, she's like, And then by the last game, I have to, like, bribe her to get on the field. It's like, all right, we'll go get ice cream after the game if you play the whole game.
Right.
Just don't step off the field. Just play the game. So, yeah, we'll give it another shot. I don't know. We're dabbling. We're trying all kinds of stuff.
I love it,
We
man.
Did ballet. She didn't like that. She only liked the performance.
That's everybody. Nobody wants to practice.
She didn't like the practice at
nobody
all.
Wants to practice. Everybody wants to go play. Nobody wants to practice all the time.
Yeah, she didn't want to do that.
But, yeah, I think it would be really, really cool. Obviously, it starts at night with the home run derby. Tickets kind of up there, huh?
I don't know. I hadn't looked. I would assume tickets to everything.
Yeah,
are
I looked up. I was like, ooh,
what are we talking about?
Two deals.
For the home run derby?
Yeah.
Dang. Yeah. All right. Well, good for you. If you've got it and you're in there.
Yeah, man. But it's going to be crazy.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, man. But yeah. So,
dang.
Yeah, man.
Dang.
I looked up this morning.
We're getting dangerously close to, like, you can't even really be a sports fan anymore unless you're just willing to take out a second mortgage.
Hell yeah, pretty much.
It's like,
yeah.
If you have season tickets to something, I just assume you're a millionaire. It's like, how do you have that?
Right.
Are you just independently wealthy? Yeah. Are you selling drugs?
I don't know, man.
What do you mean you have Falcon season tickets? What are you up to? You know? And a PSL? Woo! All right.
Ooh, boy, that got it.
Business must be booming.
But that's what I'm saying. The loyalty that you have to a team that is not a constant contender to get season tickets, PSLs, all those different things, that is love of love.
It is.
That is love of love.
Yeah.
And I don't love nothing. No team. That much.
Yeah.
It's
the ultimate commitment. I mean,
it is.
It's the two things that people value the most. It's your time.
Yep.
And your money.
Yeah. But it's awesome, though. I love it.
When it pays off, it's
I
awesome.
Love meeting season ticket holders, especially
for sure.
ones
no,
that
don't,
have been
don't
around
take
a
that
long
as me criticizing.
Oh, no. I'm not criticizing.
I'm just saying, how are you paying for
I'm
this?
Like,
that's all I want to know.
I'm like, whew. Like, that seems like that's one of the payments, like, recurring. It's recurring, too. It ain't no, I got to write them a check. It's like, we're going to take it up out of something.
Well, and then the audacity that teams have to just up the price.
Without telling you.
And they're not good.
Yes.
Like, they, you know, like, oh, by the way, like Mavericks. Didn't Mavericks fans get season ticket price like a week after they traded Luka?
Has season tickets ever went down?
Oh, that's a great question.
I was curious if when
that's
people –
That's a great question.
Are there any season ticket holders? Have your tickets ever went down? Because to me, it seems like they constantly go up.
My – you know. Like, I had a hard time imagining that they would, you know?
Like, you know, we'll give the fans a break.
Yeah.
we'll drop it down 10%.
You know what? They've been really loyal.
Yeah.
There's, like, a couple times when soccer teams would play so bad that their team president would be like, refund everyone's tickets
right.
for that game. Which, okay, cool. But, no, we're not. Like, from a year-over-year
right.
revenue growth standpoint, nah, we're not going to make season tickets cheaper. We're not going to do that. That's when they do those little 10-game plans, you know?
Make you feel special.
Yeah, you can buy into like a select amount of games that you can go to. So you're not a season ticket holder, but you got like a package of tickets that you could go to. It's a little bit less expensive, but you still get to feel special. You probably get like a tote bag or something, you know? You know, when you sign up for something and like the business gives you a little bag to carry stuff
in. I might give you a tote bag for 10. I'll give you a pennant.
Or something. Or a pen.
A pen or something like that for 10 games.
A pen so you can sign the check.
No, we got to have, we need you fully on board to get the tote bag.
Yeah, if you want to be carrying your stuff in a bag with our logo on it,
yes.
You got to be season 10. We have so many tote bags at my house.
Dude, tell me about it.
Stuff we sign up for. We must have 37 tote bags.
Tote bags and pillows.
Yeah, so many pillows. You could probably put every pillow in its own individual tote bag at my house. That's how many of both that we have. SEC Media Days, day one is going on currently. I didn't get a chance to hear anything that Brian Kelly had to say earlier. Shane Beamer is meeting with the media now. Sounds like there's a pretty good chance we'll have Shane Beamer on the show in about an hour, as well as LSU quarterback Garrett Nussmeier, probably going to join the show as well. Greg Sankey did his State of the SEC address, as he always does, to kick things off. And one of the quotes that he had that's kind of going around that people are talking about so far today is, "Let me be clear. College athletics is not broken, but it is strained."
What does that mean?
What do you think it means?
I don't know. And the reason I say I don't know is, are you taking shots at somebody?
I think what he's saying is, I mean, I think we agree, right? Like, the current landscape is a little bit uneasy.
Is it – what's part of it?
All of it.
Okay. Is it
conference realignment, playoffs getting bigger. They don't know how many there's going to be.
Are we talking about –
guys are transferred everywhere.
That's what I'm asking. Are we talking about, when we say strain, is it from the player or from the brand itself? Meaning, are we talking
That's
about the money
That's
and
question.
The transferring ability, or are we talking about the expansion and all this other stuff?
See, because I think both of those answers are in there. It's not broken. The brand's fine.
Okay.
The brand of college football, my vantage point, and maybe I'm biased towards it because it benefits us for this to be true.
Right.
But I think the brand of college football is as strong as it's been.
Okay.
And that's why you can do stuff like this. Like, that's why you can spend 5 years going from what was to what's going to be and have it just be like the Wild West mm-hmm. and have ratings not go down right. and have interest not wane or anything like that. Like you might – there's probably some fan bases here and there that aren't very happy with the brand of college football right now.
Yeah.
But I think by and large, you know, from like a national fanhood standpoint or just the general college football fan standpoint – when the game kicks off on Saturday,
everybody's
it's
watching.
As good as it's been.
Everybody's watching.
Yeah, the product
watching.
Is so good but it's, that it's all, okay.
But because it seems like it's the strain is Monday to Saturday.
Yes.
You know.
And February
yes,
to
yes,
August.
Yes, yes. That's when it seems like the strain is, or hell, December to then.
Right.
The
yeah, just when the transfer portal opens.
Transfer portal
in the middle of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Until game one at the end of August when they start playing games. Yeah, I think that's when it's strained.
Yes.
And I think it's right to say that it is. They don't know. I mean, some of the biggest questions that you should have answers to, they don't have answers
no,
to.
No, they don't.
How many teams are going to be in the playoff? We don't know.
We don't know.
Well, how many conference games are you guys going to play going forward? I'm trying to figure that out.
Yeah, we talk about, you know, his ultimate job is to do what's best for the SEC. It's not what the ultimate do for college football. We understand that. And I love his quote when he's talking about, well, what did he say? I bet most teams wouldn't trade their nine games for an eight-game SEC conference or something. Right?
Yeah, he said people wouldn't change places with an SEC team.
Yeah.
I think it depends on which one.
Hell yeah.
You know?
I mean – somebody didn't take Mississippi State place just to get the SEC check.
I don't. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I don't think you want Mississippi State's schedule.
No.
This is the third straight year they've had the hardest schedule in the country. I think teams in the Big Ten would have traded places with Texas last year.
Hell yeah.
For sure.
Now,
Texas had to play Georgia.
Texas had to play Georgia twice, and they got to come to Georgia this year, and they got to start the game at Oklahoma.
But that's the hard part of it is with all of the movement and expansion, now you have – conferences that brag about having great schedules that just isn't true across the board. It's true for some on a given year.
Yeah.
And across the board, it's obviously harder than the average schedule across the country.
Yeah.
But you can't just say unilaterally that every team in the SEC is playing a harder schedule than every team in the Big Ten or the ACC or whatever.
Right.
Because some teams on a given year, like Indiana last year in the Big Ten, just had a really favorable schedule.
I know, you know, when is it this part of summer, we always have got to find topics to talk about everything. We should definitely get that. Who's going to be, in your opinion, this year's Indiana?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I was looking at the LSU.
Washington, I think.
Because we got –
probably.
Because we were just talking about Nussmeier and everything, and I'm looking at LSU. They go to Clemson to start the season.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Death Valley or Death Valley?
Yeah, man.
Oh, man.
With two – I mean, there's not –
oh, man.
There hasn't been as much quarterback movement, like, leading into this year as there was the last couple of years.
Yeah.
A lot of the best teams in the country are going to have quarterbacks that have been there. But, like, those are two guys.
Really? Yes.
And Nussmeier and Klubnick.
Yes. That's a Heisman candidate.
Yeah, whoever
profile.
Wins that game, like, becomes the immediate Heisman favorite for the remainder of the season.
Yes.
I know Nussmeier, in terms of like the odds today, is the Heisman front runner. You know, that's great. That's you know, happens every year. There's always a front runner,
right?
And then somebody comes out of nowhere and somebody takes a step back,
Martin
and all
Sellers.
That's the way it goes, dude. Lenora Sellers,
Lenora Sellers might be
to me
dark horse Heisman guy.
Has a great chance of being in that conversation because he's the type of quarterback that wins it a lot of years because he's so athletic and he can run. And he makes plays with his legs. And we'll talk to Shane Beamer later in the show, I think. I mean, they went on a 6-game winning streak to close the season.
Yes.
If you remember, like, they were one of the teams that was in that argument of, like, hey, Alabama, hey, Ole Miss, hey, don't sleep on South Carolina. Like, you don't want them on a neutral field right now. Like, that's a tough football team. And then, you know, they lost their bowl game because nobody played in it. But it kind of makes a hard argument when you lose your bowl game after everyone's advocating for you to make the playoff with three losses. But, they had a really great second half of the year last year when Sellers stopped turning the ball over.
Yeah, man. I mean, he is a dude.
He is a dude. I love watching him play.
He is a dude. And, you know, when you have a dude at the quarterback position, that makes everything
that
much easier.
Yep.
Biggest thing nowadays is to live up to the expectation because – there are huge expectations for him.
Yeah.
There are huge expectations for Lagway.
Yeah.
Lagway. I mean, I'm talking about just those two. We know the other guys, but these two are still upcoming, especially Florida's quarterback.
That's a great question. Which quarterback in the SEC has the most expectation on them going into this year?
I think it's Nussmeier.
Do you? You don't think it's Arch?
Is it expectation or is it more hype with him?
K- What's the difference?
It's a big difference. Okay. Because I think the thing with Arch is the first thing you think about is the name.
That's right.
The first thing. First thing you think about is the name. And is his skill as good as his name says it should be?
I don't know.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That's probably like how much of the hype.
Okay, so there's the difference. With Nussmeier, there's a known. He threw for 4,000 yards last year. With Sellers, they went on that win streak at the end of the season. With Arch, there's expectation, but it's not really a known expectation.
Right.
That's what the hype difference is. Okay, I see it. So I guess maybe there's more hype for Arch, more expectation for Nussmeier.
Like, tell me this. Who's going to be the biggest star tomorrow? Is it Kirby or is it Arch?
It's a good question, man.
Yeah.
It should be Kirby.
Yeah, is it Kirby
or is it Kirby?
Or is it Arch?
It should be Kirby Smart,
the
two-time national championship-winning head coach of the Georgia Bulldogs,
right
in Atlanta at SEC Media Days.
Yeah.
That's what it should be.
Yeah.
But I think it's Arch. I think there's just like there's more. I don't know. People love the unknown.
They do.
You know.
Yeah, because I know we're having fun with Tank for Arch if you're the Saints and everything. Tank for Arch. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it's a crazy expectation, or it's a crazy. It's so hype. You know, and it's Texas.
That's where you know the hype is crazy, when there's NFL teams talking about losing games on purpose for you.
Yes.
And no one's even seen him start yet.
Seen him start any game. Well, you saw him start. He started
a couple non-conference games.
Yeah, San Antonio or something.
There's a chance that he's like only okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
It happens.
It does.
Like, Quinn Ewers came in as one of the highest recruited quarterbacks in college football history.
Yes.
Got $1 million from Ohio State just to chill and hang out.
Yes.
And he was fine. But, you know,
it
wasn't great.
It wasn't great.
Yeah.
It's
possible that Arch is like that.
It's always possible.
Yeah. I don't know. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get to an NFL No Huddle to kick off the noon hour as we broadcast live from Murph's at Cobb Galleria. If you're coming by for some All-Star festivities, we're here till 2. Dukes and Bell are going to be here later as well. Hour number 2 coming up next. Do want to remind you that the opening hour of the show, brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.